Good morning. Glad I get to address our whole family, from the younger all the way up to the older. Let us come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that lie within your word. Father, I do ask that as a church and me specifically this morning, that I would not add to your word or subtract from your word, but I would have preached the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Father, I pray that by your Spirit you would give us minds to understand, ears to hear, and hearts to receive your word this morning. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're continuing in our study in Matthew. We'll be in Matthew chapter 16 this morning. And throughout Matthew, one of the themes that we've been seeing is the kingdom of God. And within this kingdom, there's two groups. There's those who are of the kingdom and those who are not of the kingdom. And throughout Matthew's gospel, he's making a clear point that you are either in the kingdom or you're not in the kingdom. There's no straddling the fence. There's no one foot in, one foot out. You're either all in or you're all out. And this morning, we're going to see two interactions that Jesus has. First, with those who are not in the kingdom, and then with those who are of the kingdom. And we'll see a clear contrast and difference between these groups of people. And so if you haven't already, would you please turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, 1 through 12. That's Matthew chapter 16, 1 through 12. If you don't have a Bible with you, there is one in the pew in front of you, and I invite you to use that. Matthew 16, verses 1 through 12. So the first interaction that we see with Jesus is with those who are not of the kingdom. And we see in verse 1, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came. We have encountered the Pharisees already. We know that these are religious people. They are religious rulers that have come. They were very conservative, fundamental. They held up rabbinic traditions, and they had high authority with Scripture. And they really tried to make sure that Judaism stays Judaism and not allowing Gentile influence to come in into Judaism. But then we encounter the second group, the Sadducees. The Sadducees are complete opposite of the Pharisees. See, the Sadducees, on the other hand, cared for nothing about rabbinic tradition. They had no guilt about making religious, cultural, or political compromises. Although they claimed to believe in Scripture, their interpretations were spiritualized that all significant meaning was lost. They were thoroughly liberal and materialistic, not believing in angels, immorality, resurrection of the dead, or anything else supernatural. And we have these two groups coming together to go before Jesus. This would be as if the Democrats and Republicans joined forces to come and accomplish a mission. They had one mission, and that is to test Jesus. And so they test him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Now, if you've been with us over the course of this study, a couple months ago, I forget who preached on it, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, we see a similar interaction where some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." This isn't, in Matthew 16, this isn't the first time that they're asking for a sign. And we will look at Jesus' response here in a little bit. But the first characteristics of those who are not of the kingdom have a hardened heart. We see that they test Jesus and they ask Jesus for a sign. They're not asking for a sign so that they may believe. They're asking for a sign to disprove that he is the Messiah. Because since Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, and chapter 16, verse 1, we see many signs that Jesus has done that Matthew has recorded. I counted six. We see the feeding of the 5,000. We see Jesus walking on water. We see Jesus healing many at Gennesaret. We see Jesus healing the Canaanite woman who's possessed with demons. We see Jesus healing great crowds of lame, of mute, of blind, of cripples, and many others. We see Jesus feeding the 4,000 just the week prior. And these are no ordinary miracles. These aren't little bar tricks or sleight of hand that you see on TV. These are miracles that only God is able to do. And so from the time that they previously asked in chapter 12 to the time that they ask now in chapter 16, Jesus has demonstrated many of miracles. There's plenty of evidence around them, and yet they are still asking for a sign because their heart is hardened. And so the Pharisees and Sadducees come together for one purpose, and that purpose is to disprove the claims that Jesus is making about himself, that he is the Messiah. What's ironic, as we will see in a little bit, that while they are asking for a sign, they are actually speaking to the sign from heaven. Jesus, who came down from heaven, be born of the Virgin Mary. And as the prophet Isaiah said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. They are talking to the sign from heaven, and yet they are spiritually blind and their heart is hardened, that even the plain evidence before them is not enough. There's a famous atheist, Voltaire, he's French, and he said this: even if a miracle should be wrought in the open marketplace before 1,000 sober witnesses, I'd rather mistrust my sense than admit a miracle. See, unbelief will always find a way to reject truth, even to the point of denying the undeniable. There's a British political cartoonist named Martin Rosen. And he wrote an article, and in that article he said this: if God proved he existed, I still wouldn't believe in him. Even if God showed up, he still wouldn't believe. This is the Sadducees and Pharisees. They are speaking to the Son of God, the incarnation of God himself, dwelling in human flesh, and they still do not believe. Now, there may be some here this morning that are asking for a sign. There may be some here that your hearts are hardened to the truth that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is the only one who can save. Brothers and sisters, I pray and I plead that you would see, that you would soften your hearts and receive that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. That Jesus is the only Savior. That he is God. Brothers and sisters, and I've been praying and I will continue to pray that you will soften your hearts and receive this wonderful truth of Jesus Christ. And so we see that the Pharisees and Sadducees, who are not of the kingdom, have hardened hearts. The second thing that we see is that they don't understand. Look at the response that Jesus gives. In verse 2, he answers them, "When it is evening, you say, 'It will be fair weather, for the sky is red.' And in the morning, 'It will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening.' You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the time." After years of observation, there's an old saying by fishermen and sailors saying, "Red sky at night, sailors' delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors' warning." The Pharisees and Sadducees were able to understand, interpret the weather more than they can interpret what God is doing amongst them. Be reminded, both of them prided themselves on how religious they were. The Pharisees prided themselves of how much they understood and knew Scripture and memorized Scripture. And yet they were unable to interpret the signs of the Messiah. Both parties prided themselves, and yet they were clueless of what God was doing. As one scholar put it, they were better weathermen than biblical scholars. Maybe you're here this morning that you can understand the waves of this world better than you can understand the workings of God in this world. Maybe you understand the financial markets and stocks more than you can understand what God is doing. Maybe it's the finance or the real estate markets, or fashion, or sports, or education, or whatever trends you're following, do you understand that more than what God is doing in this world? The work that He is doing, how He's redeeming people. He's redeeming the lost and bringing them back to Himself and bringing them back into relationship. How He is establishing His kingdom. Are you more concerned with things happening in this world than you are how God is working in this world? May we not be better weathermen than we are biblical scholars. We see that those who are not of the kingdom have a hardened heart. Those who are not of the kingdom do not understand. And in doing so, it leads to the third characteristics that Jesus says. And while it is harsh, it's also loving. In verse 4, he says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah." This idea of adultery, we've seen it already play out in the Sermon on the Mount. But this is not physical adultery, but it's spiritual adultery. And spiritual adultery is strung throughout the course of the Old Testament. We see God Himself has established a covenant with His people Israel. And He's committed Himself, declaring, "I am the true living God. Be in relationship with Me." And what do we see in Israel? Over and over again, they're running to other gods. They're regularly committing idolatry. They're regularly committing adultery, abandoning the true and living God. And this is what Jesus is telling the Pharisees and Sadducees, that you are committing spiritual adultery. That you're so concerned with your traditions, you're so concerned with trying to act righteously, that you are missing out on the signs. You are not seeing the sign that is in front of you, the Messiah that you've been eagerly waiting for. And their hearts are hardened. They're committing idolatry. And they are evil as Jesus has put it. If you are not of the kingdom and you continue to pursue your own traditions, if you continue to pursue your own pleasures and lusts of this world, you are committing evil, sinful acts. And as Jesus has marked the Pharisees and Sadducees as evil and adultery, he also marks those who are not of the kingdom in the same way. And while this is sobering, but this is the reality. But there is hope. Because look at what Jesus says at the end of verse 4. An evil, adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given except the sign of Jonah. What is, if we recall Jonah, who was a prophet back in the Old Testament, what happened to him? He ran away from God. What did God do? He sent him to under the sea, in the belly of the fish. He was good as dead. 3 days he lived in the belly of a fish. Did God keep him there? He brought him back to life. He tossed him back on land to proclaim, to go to Nineveh, to share the warning and to tell them to repent. And we see that Nineveh repents and God saves Nineveh because of Jonah. And so in the same way as Jonah was in the fish for 3 days, so Christ willingly went to the cross to die upon a cross, to take on the full wrath that we deserve, to bear the punishment that we deserve. And he willingly gave up his spirit and died upon a cross for you and for me. He was buried for 3 days. But he did not stay buried. He rose again 3 days later. He conquered death. Death has no victory anymore. It has no sting anymore. And he's not dead anymore. He is alive. He sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, where there he intercedes for us. He forgives us of all of our evil. He forgives us of all of our sin. He brings us back into the kingdom. He brings us back into relationship with God. There is hope. So brothers and sisters, if you have come this morning with a hardened heart, if you have come wanting a sign or rejecting Jesus, hear this word that Jesus has come to save you, to bring you back into right relationship with your Creator, to redeem you, to bring you back in the fold of the kingdom of God. This is glorious news. He doesn't just leave us in our wickedness. He doesn't just leave us in our evilness. He doesn't leave us in our sin. But he himself has come. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So brothers and sisters, if your heart is hardened, repent. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have been rejecting Jesus, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's not too late. It's not too late. But if you do not repent and believe, look at what Jesus does with the Pharisees and Sadducees. At the end of verse 4, after everything he has said, Matthew records, so he left them and departed them. If you continue pursuing your own lusts, your own pleasure, if you continue to live with a hardened heart and continue to reject Jesus, in the end, Jesus will reject you. Just as he left and departed the Pharisees and Sadducees, he too will depart and leave those who are not of the kingdom. So, brothers and sisters, hear this warning. May you know it is not too late, but repent and believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I said that there's two interactions that we're going to look at. This is the sobering interaction of the Pharisees and Sadducees, those who are not of the kingdom. But in the last half, we look at the interaction Jesus has with those who are of the kingdom. In verse 5, when the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." The first characteristics of those who are of the kingdom is that they receive teaching from God himself. If you are of the kingdom, you receive the teaching from God himself. I find it interesting. We see that disciples come, they are so worried about forgetting the bread. I'm going to touch on that in a little bit. And Jesus is aware of this. Jesus is aware that they have forgotten the bread. They are aware that they're probably anxious and worried that they've forgotten bread, that they're not going to eat. And so Jesus says, in a warning, watch and beware. Now, this is important. It's not just watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees, or it's not just beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, but watch and beware. As I am walking to the park with my daughter, and we're crossing Owl, a fairly busy street, I'm going to tell my daughter to stop, watch out, and look both ways. There is warning there. I don't want her just to walk across the street without looking to see if cars are coming. And so I give her multiple warnings. Hey, pay attention. And this is exactly what Jesus is doing here. Watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. After hearing this, in verse 7, they began discussing among themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." So while we may receive the teachings of Jesus, oftentimes we can be distracted of our circumstances. For the disciples, they were distracted because they had no bread. They were hungry. They were worried about how were they going to eat? Now for us, maybe it is for some, where is my next meal going to come from? And that hinders us from truly hearing the teachings of Jesus Christ. If I could give an example, back when I was in grad school, I remember that there was a period where we were running a little low on finances, and my worry and anxiety started to creep in. How am I going to pay tuition? How am I going to pay for food on the table? How am I going to pay our rent? And so much so that I remember I woke up and I was in, it was early morning, and I was trying to do my devotions, and it was one of those where I know I saw the words on the page, but I couldn't tell you anything that I read, for my mind was so hindered about my financial circumstance. And so instead of going to God, I started worrying. I started being anxious. I put my Bible away and pulled out my laptop and started creating a bunch of spreadsheets to figure out my problems. And later on in that day, my wife and I were driving, and I'm sharing my anxiety, I'm sharing my worries. And she turns and says, "Has God ever let us down? Has God ever been unfaithful all of our time through our undergrad and grad? Has God ever not been faithful. It was in those moments being reminded how about the faithfulness of God. And I allowed my circumstance to hinder what God was trying to teach me that morning in His Word. How often do we allow our circumstance to hinder us from the teachings of God? You may be here this morning. Your mind is wandering about something else, about a loved one who's in the hospital, about a financial situation, maybe about a child who is far from the Lord. We have worries and anxiety. May that not allow us or hinder us from hearing the teachings that God wants us to hear. And I love Jesus' response here. Well, I think there is some rebuke here about to the disciples. We also see grace. We see patience from Jesus. If we continue reading in verse 8, but Jesus, aware of this, bring back, he's aware of what the disciples were discussing, that they brought no bread. He said, O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves or the 5,000 and how many baskets you gather? Or 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Jesus helps them, gives them understanding, reminds them of what has already happened. He reminds them, hey, remember when I fed 5,000 people with a couple loaves of bread and a few fish? Or how about just a few days ago when I fed 4,000 people? We have plenty of leftovers. But he addresses them with these first words. He says, oh, you of little faith. While it's little faith, they still have faith. And those who are part of the kingdom have faith. While it may be little, they still have faith. While we may allow our temporal and physical needs to hinder us from hearing the teachings of God, we still have little faith. If we can be reminded of what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, He said, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what clothes we shall wear? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And so with all these things, Jesus reminds His disciples of what has already happened, how He has already provided. And He will continue to provide. So when we believe, when we live on the level of spiritual trust and obedience, God makes provision for their spiritual needs. When we live on the level of spiritual trust and obedience, God makes provision for our physical needs. So, brothers and sisters, if we are of the kingdom, one of those signs is faith. It may be little, but it's their faith. And out of that faith, He will help us understand His teaching. This is what we see here. In verse 11, he says this, "How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread?" And here he repeats his teachings again, what we just saw earlier in the warning. It says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And I love this because Jesus, knowing that they're worried about not having bread, he could have gone straight to verse 8 and said, How have you failed to understand that I did not speak of bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" But instead, he paused, addresses their worries and concerns, reminds them of the faithfulness that he has already shown, so that their physical needs and their worries are no longer hindering them from understanding the truth and teachings and warnings of Jesus. And so while they had Jesus, who was physically there, Jesus also gives us his Spirit. And so if we have faith in Christ Jesus, he has given us his Spirit. He has sealed us with his Spirit. And it's through the Holy Spirit who helps us, who reveals the deep things of God and helps us understand his Word and his teachings. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. He writes this, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who loved him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. The Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit who helps and reveals the things of God to us, he also uses his word to reveal the depth and the things of God. So brothers and sisters, he has given us his word. He has given us the power of the Holy Spirit to help us interpret and apply his word. He has divinely enabled us to even understand deep things of God. And though while we may utterly be blind in our natural mind and spirit, by God's gracious provision, he has given us insight and given us vision to know and see the deep things of God and to understand the most important truths in all of the universe. And so as Jesus has come along and helped the disciples to understand what he's saying, he also helps us understand his truth. There's a story that I came across about a French girl who was blind. And she was received a copy of the Gospel of Mark. Oh, and she loved reading that. It was in Braille, and she regularly read over the gospel, so much so that she developed calluses upon her fingers that prevented her from feeling the raised dots on the pages. So desperate to read, she tried to peel off the skin of her fingers so that she can continue to read the Gospel of Mark, causing nerve damage in her fingers, not allowing her to feel the bumps anymore. Devastated, she picked up the book to kiss it farewell, only to discover that her lips were even more sensitive than her fingers. God will always find a way to feed the heart that hungers for his truth. Even while we may have little faith, do we desire to know the truth of God? Do we desire to read and study the truth that lies within his word? And if we do, he promises that he will give us his Spirit, that he will reveal his truth to us. What amazing truth. And this is of those who are in the kingdom of God. If you are in the kingdom of God, you receive the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. He helps us understand the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are marked by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, specifically in our passage this morning, he does give a warning that we ought to look at. Because it's a warning to his disciples, but it's also a warning to those who are of the kingdom. And in verse 12, the disciples finally understood, and Matthew says, "Then they," the disciples, "understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Jesus is warning his disciples to be aware of the false teachings of the Pharisees and Sadducees. J.C. Ryle sums it this way. He says, "Let us remember that we live in a world where Pharisaism and Sadducees are continually striving for the mastery in the church of Christ. Some want to add to the gospel, and some want to take away from it. Some would bury it, and some would pare it down to nothing. Some would trifle it by heaping on additions, and some would bleed it to death by subtraction from its truth. Both parties agree only in one respect. Both would kill and destroy the life of Christianity if they succeed in having their own way. Against both errors, let us watch and pray and stand on guard. Let us not add to the gospel to please the modern Pharisee. Let us not subtract from the gospel to please the modern Sadducee. Let our principle be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Nothing added to it and nothing taken away." You see, by adding and subtracting from Scripture, Pharisees and Sadducees ultimately have done, what they have done is not found satisfaction in what Christ has provided. You see, for those who are spiritually blind, for those who have a hardened heart and are not of the kingdom, Christ is not enough. But for the disciples and for those who are in the kingdom, Christ is enough. For those who are not of the kingdom, such as the Pharisees and Sadducees, the simple faith in the crucifixion, crucified and risen Lord Jesus himself is merely milk and not the meat. It's merely an appetizer and not a meal. But whoa, how wrong they are, for the person of Jesus and his work and his death and resurrection is the milk, is the water, is the bread, is the wine, is the flaming young, is the big slice of apple pie. It is the full substance that completely satisfies. Jesus Christ is enough. His word is enough that can completely satisfy those who are of the kingdom. And so this morning we see two interactions. We see the first interaction of those who are not of the kingdom. And if you are here this morning, once again I plead with you, soften your heart. Receive the beauty of the gospel. Repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you have done, for Jesus is willing to forgive. Brothers and sisters, if we are of the kingdom, may we be encouraged, even though we may have only little faith, that God will continue to grow that faith. Be encouraged that he has not left us on our own doing, but he has given us the Holy Spirit to help us understand and interpret and apply the Word of God. And he has given us his teaching. He has given us his Word. So brothers and sisters, if you come to a point where there's confusion, if you come to a point where there's lack of understanding, seek, pray, and He will give understanding and have assurance that you are of the kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful that you have given us your truth. Truth that we can rely on and depend on. Truths that satisfy us. Father, I pray that we would not add to or take away from your truth, but we fully depend upon you. Father, I praise you for the ministry that has taken place over this past weekend of cruise nights and of our men's cookout. Lord, I'm thankful for just the fellowship that we had last night. Father, I pray for those students that are going back to school in a few weeks. I pray for the college students that will be going back, that you would go before them, that they would continue to grow in their understanding of you and love for you and obedience to you, and that you would use their study to point them back to you. And I pray for our high school students and our middle school students, our elementary school students, that as they are growing and they are learning, ultimately they will grow and learn in your truths. Father, I pray for those who are here right now, who may be distracted because of things that are happening in their life right now. Lord, I pray that you would give them clarity of mind, that they would hear your word and your truths, that they would be reminded of your faithfulness to all generations, how you've been faithful from the beginning till now, that you would be reminded of them even how you have been faithful in their own lives. Father, as we come before communion now, we pray that you would continue to remind us, bring us to the cross of Jesus Christ. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.